the Sunday Bulletin, seen by those of us in church communication as a vital channel for keeping our congregation informed, but in reality is often a not inexpensive printed piece that ends up unread, tucked in the front covers of Bibles, lost in cars, tossed in the trash, or left in the sanctuary seats to be collected and tossed into the trash, or hopefully recycled. Are bulletins a lost cause, or is there a way to make them relevant again? That's what we're talking about on today's episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I have a love-hate relationship with church bulletins. Well, with church announcements in general. Before I wrote for the MyCom website and newsletter, I had my own blog on church communications, and the second most popular post, just behind an article about fonts, was about better church announcements. Making sure that people know what's going on sometimes feels like the biggest challenge we face in the church today. We live in a distracted world full of busy people. When we hear someone say, "I didn't know that was going on," you just want to shout back, "We literally print and hand you a list of everything that's going on every week." Sometimes I tell my congregation during the announcements that they should put the bulletin on their fridge or start their quiet time each day with a review of the bulletin, and I am only half joking. So I've come up with 9 questions that will allow us to have a frank and honest discussion about the Sunday bulletin and how to make the most out of this frustrating yet potentially vital piece of church marketing. Question number 1, do you still need a bulletin? This first question is more relevant today than ever before. As more and more organizations we interact with go paperless and the number of alternative channels for disseminating information increases, you may come to the point of discontinuing a printed bulletin. Many churches have done away with them already. Some questions that might guide you in making this decision are, how much does it cost you to produce your bulletin? Certainly, there's things like paper and printing costs, but there's also staff or volunteer hours in preparation, folding, or cutting. Then you've got the number of bulletins that get left over and the number of bulletins that get left behind. The next question might be, how tech-savvy is your congregation? Are channels such as email, social media, or your website a more effective way of reaching them? And then finally, do you realistically think people will start using your bulletin if you invest in improving it? If the question is no or probably not, then maybe it is time to do away with the bulletin. Question number 2, do you still need a weekly bulletin? A trend in some churches is to only print bulletins every other week, or once a month, or once per sermon series. Now, in a sense, these function more like newsletters than bulletins, and it of course requires the gathering of information much further in advance, which of course means planning and decisions and details need to be finished even further in advance. And for some churches, this is a challenge, if not impossible. You'll also need to decide how to distribute these kinds of bulletins. If you hand them to everyone every week, then all a monthly bulletin saves you is the time it takes to update them. But if you only hand them out the first week or two when there's a new version, you might miss out on people who attend occasionally. So there are no easy answers here, but it is something that some churches have tried. Question number 3, do you still need a printed bulletin? Another trend for some churches is the use of a digital bulletin. This can take many forms. The simplest way to transition would be to design it as you normally would and then save it as a PDF rather than printing it. You can then post it to your website, email it out, or share it on social media via a Facebook page or group. Another popular option is to create a page on your website that serves as a digital bulletin. The top could feature a message of welcome along with a link to an online connect card to gather contact information. Below that could be any service information you wish to provide, from scriptures or sermon info to song titles or hymn numbers or even a full order of worship. Finally, you could have your announcements or calendar at the bottom of the page. With modern web design tools such as WordPress and Squarespace, creating a simple page like this is easier now than ever before. Now, it is vital that the design of this page look good and be readable on a mobile device. Pay attention to things like the size of the type and spacing. If people are going to pull it up in worship or even at home during the week, it's most likely going to happen on a phone or a tablet. Now, one added benefit of using a digital bulletin is the presence of clickable links. And even if all you're doing is posting a PDF, there are still ways to create clickable links in PDFs. The idea here is that when someone reads an announcement and is inspired to take action, they can click the link immediately and learn more or sign up in that moment. Another tip would be to keep the web address for the current bulletin the same from week to week, something like yourchurch.org/bulletin or yourchurch.com/this week. If your site is based on blogging software, which WordPress and Squarespace are, you can make each week's bulletin a post, and then the bulletin page on your website can be set up to simply load the most recent post. That way, previous bulletins are archived rather than written over. This means they remain available and searchable if anyone needs to find an old version. And even if you choose to continue using a paper bulletin, offering a digital version has enough pros in my mind that it's worth at least exploring. Question 4, why should people care? A while back, I came up with a sort of bumper sticker slogan for church announcements. If people don't care, it doesn't matter if they know when and where. So often the bulletin is overflowing with logistical details. Go here, click here, sign up, show up, this location, that room, this day, that time. Okay, great, but why? Why should I do any of that? As we learned from Phil Bowdell on an episode of this podcast earlier this year, one of the biggest disconnects in church communication stems from the fact that we as the church and the congregation often define our wins differently. The win for us is getting people to show up or getting all the volunteer slots filled or leveraging our people and resources to love and serve our community and make disciples. And look, all of those things are great. That last one is our mission statement for many of us as United Methodist churches. But if it's not what the individual members of your congregation cares about, why would they want to show up? Now, we dealt with this in my own congregation earlier this fall. We had our annual trunk or treat coming up, and honestly, signups for volunteers was lagging. Now, under normal circumstances, this would usually lead us to employ the passive-aggressive begging and pleading and arm-twisting that we church people are so good at. But someone on my staff asked the question, what's in it for them? Why should they want to be there? And we all responded by giving the quote-unquote Jesus answer first, because they should want to love and serve our community. But the staff member gently and wisely pushed back, saying, our congregation loves and serves our community in many ways. It's the heart of all that we do. What I'm asking is, why should they want to love and serve our community through this specific event? The answer we came up with is that it's fun. It is not hard work. It isn't expensive. It's not an uncomfortable thing like knocking on the doors of strangers. It's a party, and it completely changed the way we talked about the event. Now, chances are pretty good that you take a similar approach in your verbal or video announcements, and on social media, you explain the why. Well, this same strategy needs to be applied to the bulletin. It is, of course, much easier to do verbally or on social media because you have much more room or time to get it in. But let me ask you this, which is more important? More announcements that people don't care about, or fewer announcements that inspire action? Question number 5, does this need to be in the bulletin? Continuing on the last point, lots of church bulletins go unread or get left behind because they're jammed with an overwhelming amount of information. Some look more like the classified section of an old newspaper than something attractive and interesting to read. The effectiveness of announcements is inversely correlated to the number of announcements, meaning the more announcements there are, the less people will take away. And as with emails and web pages, the more there is to read, the more likely it is that people are going to skim it or skip it entirely. The same is true with our bulletins. Limiting the number of announcements or the space available for announcements might be a challenge at first. It'll feel like you're leaving things out, and feelings might get hurt when you tell someone that their announcement just isn't going to make it into the bulletin. But at the end of the day, the effectiveness of your communication as a whole is determined in part by the effectiveness of each channel. If the announcement is not going to be relevant to a large number of people who receive the bulletin, there has got to be a better way of getting that information out. It might be targeted emails or social media posts on a page or in a group, or through old-fashioned phone calls and in-person conversations. There are certainly more ways than just the bulletin to get the word out to your congregation. The same goes for how far in advance you make an announcement. If you're having a bake sale to raise money for a ministry of the church, does it really need to be in the bulletin 6 weeks in advance, or is 2 weeks enough time? Another way bulletins get clogged up is with the save the date type announcements. We know people are so busy that we want to get the word out as soon as possible so they don't schedule other things, but it's these types of announcements that most fall prey to being just about details, a date and or time, rather than a reason to care. Question number 6. Does this need to be in the bulletin? Now, this is the same question, but the emphasis is on a different part of the question. The last question was about putting information into the most effective channel for reaching people, acknowledging that the bulletin might not be the best option for everything. This one gets at the reality that so many of our bulletins are like the junk closet in our homes. Stuff goes in, but it never comes out. We have announcements, worship order, or a list of songs or hymn numbers, perhaps some stats about attendance or giving, social media handles, info sections on major ministries like men's, women's, or youth, a list of birthdays and anniversaries, or maybe even a prayer list or a listing of who's in the hospital and which hospital and what for and how long they've been there, and on and on and on. New sections get added over time, and the font size and spacing gets smaller, or the size of your bulletin just gets bigger. Each thing got added because someone thought it was a valuable piece of information to share, or because someone in the congregation asked for it, or because it feels like something that just should be in there. And the challenge is that many of these things are valuable in and of themselves, but again, it's the totality of the information that overwhelms and leads to bulletins getting left behind or discarded. Now, you'll have to proceed with wisdom if you choose to make changes about what is and is not included in your bulletin. For some, it might be a slowly paring down over time. For others, you might just need to rip off the Band-Aid and do a complete and total redesign. One of the keys to either approach is ensuring that the person who answers the phone and the general email inbox for the church has access to the current version of that information from week to week once it's removed from the bulletin. So, for example, we United Methodists believe in a high level of transparency when it comes to church finances. Now, this doesn't mean that weekly giving has to be in the bulletin, but if it was in there and you've removed it, it might not be bad for a season of time to have that weekly giving information available for those who ask about it. Question number 7. Can you turn your bulletin into a Trojan horse? Now, we're all familiar with the concept. A Trojan horse is something that looks appealing on the outside, but is full of something you don't want hidden on the inside. And if we're being honest, the sheer number of bulletins that get left behind or tossed in the trash as people leave shows that they really don't want a printed booklet of announcements coming into their home week after week. It doesn't mean that they don't love your church and that they don't care about your mission. They just don't care enough about the bulletin to take it with them. So, what could you add to the bulletin that would make people want to take it home and, in a sense, sneak your announcements in with it? Now, I know, we just talked about taking stuff out of the bulletin, but making room for something that increases the likelihood that someone will look at the bulletin even once after they leave the sanctuary is totally worth it. So what am I talking about? It could be daily scripture readings, sermon notes, a place for people to take their own notes, recommended further reading, guided questions for the week, or a list of ways that people can live out the message. Now, of course, if you or your pastor or whomever would prepare these things don't put a lot of time in or effort into them, they could just be another piece of clutter. But if you can create an effective way for people to consistently engage with the ideas of the sermon, and the church can build a culture of actually doing so, this could become an effective piece for both marketing and discipleship that work together to enhance one another. Question number 8, does your bulletin provide a pleasant reading experience? Is your bulletin attractive? Does it look like someone intentionally designed it, or does it look like someone used the default newsletter template on Microsoft Word? Or is it full of clip art that looks like it came off a CD-ROM or even a floppy disk? Now, I'm not saying that your bulletin needs to look like a fancy magazine, but if it's ugly, people are less likely to read it. If it looks good, it will draw attention. We make value judgments based on design and aesthetics all the time. We do judge books by their covers, even if we know in our heart of hearts it's wrong. And I know many of you are not trained in graphic design or page layout. You're learning as you go. You're doing the best that you can. You use tools like Canva or Adobe Spark for social media graphics because they have great templates and don't require a lot of knowledge or fancy expensive software. On the other hand, bulletins are often created from scratch, and you're either using something like Word, which doesn't offer a lot of freedom or flexibility, or you're using something like Adobe InDesign, which is powerful, but not the most intuitive and can easily be overwhelming to a beginner. The two most effective things you can do, no matter what program you're using, to make your bulletin more attractive are to create a typography hierarchy and work on spacing. When it comes to the type, choose one or two fonts, usually one for the headlines or titles and one for the body text. There are some really great high-quality free fonts available through services like Google Fonts. Then standardize the size of headlines and body texts. You want your bulletin to look consistent from front to back. And when it comes to spacing, this is the key to the feeling of a readable document versus an overwhelming document. Make sure you have consistent margins around the edges, space between columns, and space between paragraphs and sections. How much is appropriate depends on the size and shape of your bulletin, but when you print it out, ask yourself or someone in your office or in your community if it feels crowded and encourage them to answer honestly. And while you're not producing a fancy magazine, magazines are a great place to look for examples of font styles, type hierarchies, and spacing. The Magnolia Journal from Joanna and Chip Gaines is a great one that looks good but isn't too formal or fancy. Question number 9, does the bulletin make sense for a first-time visitor? You know who's most likely to take your bulletin home and actually look at it during the week? A first-time visitor who enjoyed their time at your church. They're going to take it home and read it looking for more information about your church and how they might be able to get involved. So things like your website and social media profiles are essential. You should also ensure that most, if not all, of your announcements make sense to someone who isn't yet a part of your church. Don't bog them down with insider language or acronyms that don't make sense, and make sure the call to action for each announcement is something a new person can actually do. It's not helpful to make the action step talk to Nancy if a new person doesn't have a clue who Nancy is. Instead, provide Nancy's phone number or email address, or if Nancy isn't comfortable with that, direct people to email the church office and then you can forward those messages on to Nancy. Finally, consider a section in your bulletin specifically aimed at visitors. This could include a welcome, an invitation to fill out a Connect card or sign the attendance pad, instructions on how to get their first-time visitor gift, or more importantly, how they can get more involved. Provide the web address to your first-time visitor page, an email address, or the date, time, and location of a meeting or class they can attend for more information about things like Bible studies or small groups, volunteering, membership, or baptism. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you still use a bulletin? What form does it take, and how effective have they been? What other avenues do you use to keep people up to date on what's going on? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your story on a future episode. And you can, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We always love hearing from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're using to listen to us right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.